listen to authors like us.
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing because we started talking about how, you know, we write on computers and we've lost something a little bit. I mean, I write on the computer too, but I still draw. Like, I'm an illustrator as well, so I still get that tactile feel. But when I used to write on paper, every now and then I'd get frustrated and rip the page out and crumple it up. There's something really liberating about that. Do you ever do that with quilting? Like, you just rip out a patch?
We call it unsewing. I unsew a great deal. In fact, I was doing that quilt this morning and I was unsewing. So, yes, because I had put one color in the other. So, yeah, I was wearing this morning.
But when you say unsewed, is that a politically correct term for ripping it out?
Yeah, ripping it out.
Oh, okay, good.
We sewed it in wrong. We have to unsew it now. Yeah, so I ripped it out. Yeah, so yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing with the thing I find is I write very, like, I don't write a lot of the time. But when I do sit down and write, I can write 3 chapters just like that because I got them all fit in my head, and I am typing so fast, and I can type really fast. I can type over 125 words a minute. And
holy!
I can just fly on that computer, and so I can actually get it all out really, really quickly. And but I don't like make myself sit down every day. I probably should, and I've been wanting to get a plan because I feel so kind of disconnected from writing right now. I should sit down for maybe. I'm not going to say 7, I hate getting up before 8. So, maybe from 9 till, let's be realistic, and with a couple games of solitaire in between.
Maybe 10:30.
Yeah, I mean, by the time this conversation ends, it'll be like 4 o'clock, maybe I'll get around to it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really, I'm really not very disciplined when it comes to that, but I'm bringing out a book, you know, every 18 months or every year, so I guess I am doing it somehow.
You must be disciplined in some way.
Yeah, well, I think it's just my brain. I never am without the characters of whatever book I'm working on. I'm never without the plot in my head, and I'm never without the characters. And if you write, you know what I mean. You walk around, and, you have people other, and I don't mean in a bad way, you have other people talking in your heads, in your head. I wish I was a clone, actually, so someone could clean, someone could do the, you know, all the grocery shopping. Oh, man, I hate grocery shopping so much. What a waste of time. They should have, in grocery stores, they should have those, you know, those things, what do they call those belts, you know, that take your groceries right from the store to your house, to your cupboard and fridge, and then you just put them on and close out. It is so inefficient.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, a conveyor belt. That's, I think, what you're
thinking. I live about 100 feet from a grocery store. So I go, but the problem is I go like once a day.
Yeah, well, I know some folks who live near, but I'm not too far away, but I'm a little bit far away. But it's so inefficient. You know, you're putting stuff in a basket, you're taking it out of the basket on the conveyor belt, putting it back in the stuff, putting it back in the basket, back in your car, coming home, hauling it into the house and putting it away. Totally inefficient. So
I agree. There should just be a conveyor belt from our cupboards right to the grocery store. I like how this is going.
But I got away from your question.
I can't remember what it was.
I think she's actually already answered our one standard question.
Yeah.
We have our one standard question is, what does not inspire you?
Oh, it does not inspire
me. I'm thinking it's grocery shopping. Is there anything else?
Actually, though, you get some great characters in the grocery store, you know. I think as writers, you tend to have this little radar for anything that's just slightly a little bit different, slightly a little bit off. And you'll see, like, maybe the way someone has maybe their hair done or the way they're kind of, like, using their cart as a walker or something. You know, like, it's still...
How about what's in the shopping cart? You know, I always find that fascinating. You can get some good character profiles from what people have in their cart. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if someone has, if it's an elderly person and they have a couple TV dinners and you know that they're on their own or something, you know, they don't have, like, a whole lot of food, particularly men. It's pathetic. Older men, what they have in their carts is just, you know, it's really sad. I want to make them a meal. But, it's kind of, you can tell a lot about people by what they have in their carts. So I actually really stack all my good food, like the vegetables on top, so people see what all the crap underneath the chips and things. So
why?
I actually got scolded by a grocery store clerk once for coming up to, I came up to the thing, and I think I was just going to a party or something, so I had, like, chips and Coke and stuff, and she looked at me and she said, "So we've given up on vegetables today?"
But then, don't you find yourself, if you have that, you are having a party, so you have a lot of party food, I find myself justifying it to someone I don't even know.
Exactly.
Thinking, that's right. What was my self-esteem that I'm justifying having this food so that this person won't think badly of me? What the heck's that all about, you know?
Yeah, again...
mouth shut.
Again, we need the conveyor belt from the house to the grocery store so that we can avoid all of that, you know, criticism.
Back with humans.
Yeah, exactly. That's where James is going. James is just like, anything that can help build his
build
kingdom of his kingdom of reclusiveness, you know. Reclusivity? I don't know. What's the word?
Reclusivity, I guess?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're only writers.
I agree. And, yeah, I'm a very social person, so sometimes I really have to take a step back if I want some time to myself. So it hasn't been, I keep saying, okay, next month. Well, that was in August, and then it was September, and then it was October, but I'm hoping November I can actually get some writing done.
You know what's going to happen in November. You're going to be like, well, it's almost the holidays, and it's only 1 month till the new year. Let's start off 2011 with a bang. Yeah.
No, that never works. In fact, September's my new year, not January.
Mine is too, actually.
Yeah, me too.
You're teaching, so yes.
Yeah.
You're a teacher, right?
We both teach creative writing to kids. Like,
not with a private organization.
Yeah, with a private organization, but it still rotates on the school schedule, so.
Yes.
When you're in that world, September has that new year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about BC, but in Ontario here, our summer was so hot. It just drained everything out of you. I mean, day after day up in the high 30s, and we just... So I made the best of it and went to the beach, you know.
Oh, poor you, going to the beach. I remember seeing that actually on Facebook, you going to the beach when it was cold and raining here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my brother lives out in BC, and it's always kind of rainy out there. But, yes, I know. And in fact, the last time I was swimming was probably mid-September. So it's been cold since then. It hasn't been the nicest fall.
Yeah, I was just out in Ontario in mid-September, and it was, I don't know, I guess they greeted my arrival with...
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You can blame him.
Yeah.
Thanks for that weather, bringing it from BC.
I try.
We should get back to writing, I guess. What were some other questions you had?
No, that was our only... We have one standard question. Is what doesn't inspire you? So, but I don't think you really answered it. Unless it is grocery shopping, but then you kind of got excited about it.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I don't think anything doesn't inspire me. I have some things kind of fascinate me, and I kind of worry that maybe there's something wrong with me. Like, well, for example, you know this guy, this Russell Williams guy, he murdered those two women. The guy was like the head of Trenton's forces.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Colonel Williams, or whatever his name was. And Colonel Russell Williams. Well, he's actually, they just were showing it on the news. He's pleaded guilty to all charges. But, you know, I'm absolutely fascinated. What is it that made his brain want to, you know, become a serial killer, basically, is what he was. Like, what is it in his brain? Nobody, I don't think... anyone's born, you know, wanting to be these things. So, you know, who's born saying, "I'd love to be a serial killer"? What are you going to be when you grow up? Like, seriously, you know, you don't have too many kids tell you that, right? But
none, usually.
No, none, I must say. But, I have to tell you, though, I was at a school. I was at a school, and one little boy kind of disturbed me with a couple of his observations, and I noticed the teacher shut him down immediately. So, it's just like, that one needs a little watching, you know? Signs that early? I guess so. But what would make someone like that? Like, what makes you, you know, want to steal women's underwear and stuff? And why would his wife know? I am pretty sure if I found a stash of underwear in my house, I'd be looking really strongly at my husband. It better be a gift for me, or
you'd have some questions, is what you're saying.
I think I'd feel something was off. I don't know. Maybe, but how do I know? You know, I don't know. I'm not in that situation. So I have some pretty weird. You know, I'm very, very curious about things, and I think that might be part of being a writer too.
Yeah.
And the radar for it, you know, you hear something, overhear something, well, that'll make a great story. And so, yeah, it's kind of strange. And the walking around with people talking in your head, you know, it's a bit weird too. So
it happens.
Yep.
Do you think musicians walk around with music in their head all the time? I kind of
definitely.
Yeah, I know a lot of musicians, and they're always humming something, or, you know, yeah, it's always a part of them. It's kind of interesting, actually.
I think it is. Like, I was telling the kids, I do a 4-week workshop at the school in London every year, and I'm started again. And I was telling them that when I look at the world, you might look at a bird and think of things like, you know, trilling, warbling, because this is a music school, that. Whereas I look at it and I start to look at it as in terms of words, and everything I look at in the world, it's in terms of language and words and description. And because I'm not a musician and, you know, or an artist, and I can't draw you. And so, yeah.
I think that's interesting because I think I do both. I look at it in terms of words, but also shapes.
Yeah.
I often look at it. What, a bird flying through the sky is a good example. I sometimes find myself visually breaking it down into shapes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't draw either. I said to one of my students once that all I can do is stick men. And he looked at me and he said, well, it worked for Jeff Kinney, the Diary of a Wimpy Kid guy.
Yeah, this is very true. Well, and yet here I design quilts. So I do like color.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you are artistic in a visual way.
Yeah, I just can't draw anything, but if you give me a piece of paper and cut out a shape, and I use that for my applique, it's actually how I do my applique shapes. Applique is like the, do you know what applique is? It's like a bird on top of a piece of fabric that you would just sew on, so it's just like a picture almost. Well, I can do that with paper and scissors, but I can't draw anything. I haven't got that talent.
So. Wow.
Which I think is kind of neat.
I tend to think you probably could. If you can cut out a shape, I bet you could draw, but...
Yeah,
it's just a different way of thinking about it.
He thinks I can draw too, though.
I think everyone can draw. I do. Everyone can draw. It's just a matter of how well. It's like everyone can sing.
Yeah, I'm gonna do stick man quilt. I think I should try.
That would actually be awesome. A stick man quilt.
It could be very, very awesome.
I think so.
Absolutely.
Bring back Star Wars quilts. That would be great.
If not for us, for your son.
Yeah, your son's Christmas is coming up. Your sons would love a Star Wars quilt.
Actually, they would, and I actually, when they got married, I always made them. I make quilts for every single niece, nephew, my own kids, everyone, and special friends' kids who get married. So, and they get it handmade, so it's very special. But now I mostly do machines. I have a lot of arthritis in them. So. But it's nice to have the two. It's nice to have the two things to go from one to the other, and you know, work with words. And then, but then all of a sudden, I'm just really, really inside. I just want to shut off the world and do some work. Unfortunately, it doesn't shut off very well. Did you notice that?
Yeah, the world is loud.
It is incredibly loud. And it's not only that, it's the constant emails and the constant phone calls. And yeah, it's tiring sometimes, I have to say. So, and do you wonder, you teach kids, do you wonder what they're going to be like? Maybe not their kids, or maybe not them, but their kids.
We've had that discussion, actually.
Oh, no, it's going to be them. No, not their kids, it's them. They have a hard time shutting off. I've actually done a lot of in-class assignments where I'm trying to...
Teach them to shut off.
Yeah, and I was teaching in Korea in the summer, and I did not an experiment, because that sounds... it sounds ominous. It
sounds cruel.
No, but I did...
experiments on the children.
Yeah, no, I did an exercise where we did lucid writing, like lucid dreaming and then writing, but it was so stressful for them to shut off all of their technology... And to have nothing in front of them except a pencil and paper, I could not believe the amount of earnest angst from those kids. Not from even starting the exercise and writing on a blank piece of paper, just from pushing aside their laptops, their iPhones, their iPods, everything. Like they're so attached to their technology, and they found it very stressful.
Oh, they do. I mean, you know, their phone goes down and they have total fits, like they're just panicked.
Yeah.
But when do you get that quiet time when you, you know, examine the world around you and you connect with things, like you connect with nature, like when they don't have it anymore? And I'm kind of worried about that.
I am too.
Yeah, me too.
Because
you're artists, you know?
Because the answer to the question of when they do it is never.
Yeah. They're not seeing the value in it anymore.
No, but, I was very aware of, we lived at Elgin Goderich, now that's a little town on Lake Huron here in Ontario. And even when I was really young, I was very aware of the lake and I was very aware of the colors and just like I was writing since I was 10. So, I mean, I was very aware of that, but I often and would just hop on my bike because, you know, we didn't have anything else to kind of do, and just ride down the road and out into the country. And I often think about those days, and they mean a lot to me, but they're not getting that. I really worry about them. I really do worry about them, that they're not connecting to the world around them. It's all through this, you know, little iPhone or whatever.
We try to, in our classes, we do actually try to get them to connect, but just, you know, the example I just gave, but it is challenging. It's definitely challenging. So.
And I mean, I go to speaker schools all the time, and I mean, I am pulling out a trick out of a bag every 5 minutes to keep the attention of these kids.
Yeah, that isn't that the truth.
They can't sit. They can't sit and do it. In fact, I was it's kind of funny. I went to a school. I went to the library, actually, at Finch and Jane a couple years ago, and it was in Toronto. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, it's a rough area. Not a lot of privileged children. But they were so quiet, I couldn't believe it. They were just so attentive, and they sat for like an hour and a half. We went a whole half hour over the usual hour. And right from there, I went to a little town north of Toronto, a very rich town. And I'm not going to say what it is because, you know, I might never be invited back again. It's part of my living. But within a half an hour, these kids were so antsy, I couldn't believe it. But it was the very same thing I'd done with the other kids. So I thought, yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't me. But anyway, and then one kid farted. And what really surprised me was these teachers never said a word to these kids. And they said, wow. And all they said was, well, they've been sitting for about 35 minutes. Thinking, yeah, I am.
it's a cultural thing almost, you know? So
yeah,
I've noticed that too. Very similar. I find it very interesting to see the culture of a student body depending on what type of neighborhood and yeah. town and everything. So and rural versus metropolitan.
Yeah. Well, interesting? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The poor kids don't have the technology to distract them because they can't afford it.
That's
so,
right.
You know, sitting with themselves, it'll be interesting to see if in the future the kids who grow up poor without all the technology wind up actually becoming the leaders, whereas the ones who are really wealthy and supposedly have all the advantages wind up actually growing up to have so little attention spans that all they can become are the workers for the, you know, for the poor kids.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a book here, James.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be an
That one's mine.
Sure. We hatch a lot of ideas on this show.
Pardon?
We hatch a lot of ideas on this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good. Good to know. You can keep that one.
Okay. You can make the quilt.
What's that?
You can make the quilt.
Okay, I'll make the iPod quilt.
And then we'll
tour
together.
The iPod quilt.
Kind of funny, so yeah. But you know, it is a concern. I really do worry about that because I have a little granddaughter, and I think, gosh, you know, what's it going to be like for her? Mind you, having said that, her mother is into the my son's wife is into the SCA. You know, those synchronastic.
Oh yes.
Yes, where they dress in medieval outfits and stuff. Yeah. So they're pretty good at not, you know, they don't have a ton. They like their computers, and so well, Jason designs games, but. You know, they still go out and do a lot of camping. So
they go into the real world.
They go into the real world. Yeah, I'm so glad he has her. Sometimes I wonder if he would have just been sucked into his computer by now. Because those two guys, boy, they should have loved their computers. I'll tell you. Now, Jesse's very musical, my younger one. He loves music, but he knew he couldn't make a living at it. And he's very talented in music. So he thought, well, if I go into gaming, I can, which he also really loved, he could put the music, which is again, you know, another expression, put the music to the games.
Oh, cool.
So, and that works. So somehow it's
fun. So we have one last thing.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks so much for coming on our interview show, especially...
We finally connected.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the other thing that I need is, I'm going to take a little Skype picture of the three of us, if that's all right.
Oh, sure. Cool.
And this will actually go on the website. Oops, that didn't work out the way it was supposed to.
Do you know what are you doing?
Okay. Oh, wait, what am I doing?
He's the tech
guy. Yeah, I'm the techie guy.
Which is sometimes this is terrifying.
This is why I don't design video games.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it'd be cool if you did.
There we go. All right, perfect.
No, I heard that. Did it work?
It worked, yeah.
Yeah, we got it.
And where do I find this interview?
We'll email you a link.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be just great.
Yeah, the website's authorslikeus.com, but once we get, your interview's not going to be posted probably for what, a couple of weeks?
Because we've
got a couple in the queue.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so very much for thinking of me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we had a great time. It was hilarious. It was awesome.
It was fun. Yeah.
It was great meeting you.
Okay, take care.
Have a good day. See you, Barbara.
She's so funny.
Wow, she is hilarious.
And she's killing
me,
man.
Oh, my gosh. Like when she
was
gonna
stop this.
Oh, yeah.
Before you start.